All right, guys. Well, welcome back. We are at episode number 5, and we wanted to have a little fun with this one. And also, too, we wanted to kind of like help you guys out. I think we all know and we all kind of fear the putting ourselves out there element of social media, not feeling too comfortable with maybe people wondering like or caring about what our opinions are, what we're trying to do. So who we brought in on this one is great. Her name is Orly Shani. Orly is a fantastic TV personality. You might have seen her on many different episodes of shows on both the Hallmark Channel, on NBC, and the Today Show. She gets around to all these different things, and she's done it by kind of promoting herself and building a platform on social media and on YouTube specifically. So she's going to share a bunch of different tips and tricks on how to feel more comfortable, specifically if you are trying to do video and just having a voice out there in social media. We have so many different ways now we can do it. And Jordan and I are big fans of like Instagram stories. And that's becoming kind of like the bridge for a lot of us to put our faces out there and promote our businesses, promote our work, talk to one another as well. So
yeah, that's right.
It was a great one.
This was a really, really good one for me because this is something I've been struggling with too. And you know, through these episodes, I'm sure you've heard us talk about like authenticity being so important. And honestly, I think, you know, it's hard to have that true authentic self without putting your personality and who you are behind the pixels nowadays. And so I think it's important to get to the place where you're starting to feel comfortable doing that. And this is something I'm starting to kind of overcome myself. And so this episode was really helpful for me seeing someone like, you know, Orly, who has made an entire career of putting her brand and her personality and herself out there in front of everyone, and how she kind of got to that place, I think is a really good listen for a lot of designers out there.
Yeah, for sure. And feel free as well. We gave you a few links on where you can find more info on Orly. Follow her as well. She's a hoot. Like, definitely reach out to her if she says something here that really kind of hits home with you. She will really enjoy and conversating back to you. She will do for sure. Trust me. So we hope you enjoy this one, all about putting yourself out there on social media. We're talking today about putting yourself out there and getting yourself comfortable with being the face of your design business, your business on social media, you name it, right? Blogs, YouTube, even Instagram stories have become kind of like the greatest new feature. And we wanted to bring on someone, my favorite person online, I gotta say, I think she's killing it, is our good friend Orly Shani. Orly, say hello.
What is up? Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
This is a blast. Yeah.
This is great.
So we were thinking, before we get going on this, I'd love for you to just give everybody a little bit of your rap sheet, you know, your bio, what you're doing now, how you got there, and specifically like this little social media YouTube kind of you know, channel that you're doing right now.
Yeah. So I started off my television kind of career started off on a competition show, on a show called Fashion Star, which was a design competition on NBC, fashion design competition on NBC. It was really way before its time. It was really cool. The concept was that H&M, Macy's, and Saks Fifth Avenue were these buyers. They were like our judges, basically. They were buyers, and we would design clothing, and if they wanted it, they would bid on it, monetary bids. Whoever bid the highest, if anyone did, got the clothes. And because we shot, you know, 6 months in advance, the clothes were in the stores and online the next day. Online at midnight. Yeah, really, really cool concept, frankly, just before its time. It did huge names. It was like Jessica Simpson, Nicole Richie, John Varvatos, Elle McPherson hosted it. So I did that and I didn't win. I came in like fourth place, but I sort of found out that I became like a fan favorite on the show. And so when they did season 2, NBC hired me to do a backstage like BTS sort of series it was a branded for like NBC.com, like digital, all their different digital properties. And it was the first time I'd ever hosted anything, but it really felt like the right fit for me. When I was younger, like 14, 15, I thought I wanted to act. And so I took acting classes and I auditioned. And I think the combination of like acting, understanding acting and understanding how to kind of perform and be comfortable, but then also not being that good an actor, being better at being myself. Like those two things really kind of came together in a perfect way when it came to hosting. And so I did that series, and then I ended up getting a show on E! Called The Fabulist, which I hosted with Kristen Cavallari, and it was really fun. It was kind of like Fashion Police, but for trends. We would like sit down with guests and comedians, and we'd talk about, you know, this is a new trend. Is it stupid or is it awesome? Like, here's so-and-so wearing it, whatever. It was a dream come true. It was a blast. I shot it in New York. And so I had moved back from New York at that time. So I was living in LA and flying to New York every week. And it was just amazing. And then the show got, you know, it never got canceled. It just never got picked up. We were in this weird limbo phase, which sucked.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The worst, especially when you think it's like, this is your moment. You know, you're like, oh my God, my whole life's going to change. And they're like, just kidding. So there was a lot of crazy change at E! During my time there. There was a new president overturned. That's when Joan Rivers passed away. That's when the whole like Juliana Rancic, Zendaya,
oh my God. You know, yeah, you were like nonstop, right?
That whole thing with the dreads. Like, it was like, yeah, there was like a lot of crazy stuff that went on. So departments, entire departments were being let go. And I had this other show called Who Wore It Better that I hosted with Kat Sadler. And the entire department that created that show and produced it was completely just everyone was fired.
Wow.
So the show went away as well. So I ended up in this kind of overall deal is what they call it. I was like an overall talent at E! And I was just kind of stuck there with not really much to do. And that's when at the end of that deal, I moved over here, which is where I am now, which is called Home and Family. It's a 2-hour like morning talk show on the Hallmark Channel. And I do all their like DIY, mainly fashion, but then some like home decor and, you know, kind of crafty stuff. But it turned into a whole DIY thing. And that's really when I decided to start the YouTube channel, was because I was getting more into DIY, but I was working on a network that's fairly conservative. That's not necessarily my style, like aesthetically my style. I wanted a place where I could do things that were more like me and my brand, and I could be free to sort of be a little bit more like myself. And then that's when the whole YouTube show, which is called The DIY Designer, that's when that whole thing started.
Cool.
Amazing.
Was that a really long spiel?
No,
was
I supposed you, to like, do that long like, spiel? Record time. That was good. That was good. I think what's so cool about what I'm thinking here is the whole idea of creatives. Why do creatives need to get out there and self-promote? And, you know, what's the main emphasis of doing this?
Yeah. I mean, I think for myself, it's very clear. It's, I love my job and I work with the most amazing people. And, you know, being on a TV show, a weekly TV show, national TV show, Emmy nominated, all that stuff. That's all, I'm really lucky. There's a million people, you know, influencers, YouTubers, people who would love to be on TV. So if you're like a creative person and it's actually part of who you are, I think that really making sure that you're doing things that actually honor that creativity in a real way, it's important to you. Like, for people who aren't creative, I don't think they get that. And I think they're like, oh, you've got a great job. Like, what are you talking about? Because they don't understand that it's like, no, you do it for a reason. It's because it's like something sort of important and deep within you. So because I know what I eventually want for myself and the goals that I eventually want, I know that I need to use social media and different platforms like YouTube as a way to sort of create for myself the future job, not the current job. If I just start creating more content that's similar to what I'm doing now, the next job is going to be the same as this one. My goal is to really prepare. And if you go to my YouTube channel or you go to my Instagram, you get a sense of the job I want. And I think that's, cool. You know, for someone who's an individual and not necessarily like a company type brand, but the individual brand, that's super important. I mean, you're telling everyone who you are, how you want to be known, how you want to be received. And I think that's a really big part of it.
Yeah. Like what you're aspiring to do and what you aspire to be. That's a good way to think about it. I never even thought about like you projecting kind of your future version of yourself or whatever role you want to be in 2 years. Do it now because you're in control.
Exactly. Yeah. And frankly, you know, the good and bad thing about social media is that the majority of your followers don't actually know you. You know, they feel like they know you, but they don't, right? So, yeah. So if you want to portray an image, you want to get, like, for me, I really want to move into a little bit more of like the home space, like doing home reno, home decor, like that whole category. Because for me, I feel like DIY fashion is really fun and comes super natural to me. But at a certain point, like, you can age out. You know, it's like 16-year-old girls don't want fashion advice from like a 45-year-old woman. They just don't want that. So where home decor, you kind of can never age out. Like that's not, it's a different space. And so I knew that I wanted to potentially start moving into that space. So I started curating images for myself, some within my own home that I created myself, some that I just found online that I thought were indicative of my aesthetic. And I started posting them and sharing them and changing my feed from strictly fashion to fashion and home decor. Because that's cool. The direction I want to go. And I want there to be a natural transition. Otherwise, when, you know, production companies are going to look at my social, they're like, this chick doesn't do anything in home. Like, yeah. What is she talking about? You know?
Yeah.
And they don't know who I am, like, for real. So I can share that stuff. And all of a sudden, it's like you put it into the world and all of a sudden it becomes real in some way.
I like that a lot. I think, you know, I think this can all really tie into, first of all, I think we should address that. Probably most of our listeners are graphic designers, but this discussion really works in the broad sense because I think this idea of putting yourself out there is really sort of the name of the game, right? The name of the game is being visible within social media, whether or not you want to engage, network, find clients. The more you put yourself out there in an authentic way, I think the better received and the more doors that open. So it's like the people like you that are really capitalizing on this train of thought. And so, you know, I do wonder how did you overcome this fear of sort of others judging you and your work initially? Like, I think that's a hindrance for a lot of people, and even myself included, of like putting yourself out there. Were you always just comfortable doing it? Were you always just comfortable with an audience, or did you take these little steps into like getting more and more comfortable to the point where we're now of full? Yeah,
I think that I've always been pretty comfortable. You know, in the spotlight or whatever, like that's always been something that I don't struggle with. I feel comfortable in that space. I think that what is hard, and this is what's different, is that the sort of mind F of social media is that you create things that you think are cool and you put them out there. And when there's a lackluster response, you start to second guess whether what you put out there was cool or not.
Yeah.
And I think that's, to me, that's the struggle. That's the danger, is that I feel really good about it, but then when I check back in 20 minutes, when it's not really tracking like I thought that it was going to, you start to be like, well, maybe it's not that good. Maybe it's not that cool. Maybe I should delete it. Maybe. And then you're like, what am I doing? Like, what is this? You know, but like, it's, if you use your social media as a business, that's important. You have to look at that feedback and see whether people are responding. And, you know, it's not only about your own personal, what you think is cool or what you think is great, but also, especially if you're in the business of business, you know, you could create something for someone that you think is the best thing since sliced bread. And then they're like, we hate it. And you're like, okay, well, you can't force someone to like what you're doing. So it's a fine line between staying true to what you think is cool and allowing yourself to learn / be affected by the opinions of others. And I go back and forth about that all the time. Like sometimes I'm like, I'm just gonna, if I think it's good, I'm gonna put it out there and I'm not gonna look at the response. I'm just gonna put it out there.
Yeah.
But
you
know, it's not always the best thing to do, especially if you really are trying to use it for business.
What about the shy person? Yeah. What about the shy, like we know we get a lot of those people that are just like introverts, even though they're like the most talented creatives out there. How do you get them to break past that like shy factor? Like, oh, I can't do a video of me. There's no way.
I think to me, there's two options there. One is you create a separate private account that no one can follow you on. And you start doing Instagram stories and you start just trying to do stuff and watch it and just get more comfortable doing it. Cause it's like anything. I mean, if you get in the habit of doing it, the opportunities to continue to do that pop up all the time. Like if you're doing Instagram stories on a regular basis, the simplest moment that you never would have thought is worth sharing all of a sudden is on your mind as worth sharing because you're in the habit of looking for those moments and it becomes much easier. And so if you start getting used to little Instagram stories where you have to look at your face, see your voice, watch yourself and try to get over that hump, then by the time that you actually start sharing that content on your real page, you're at least not so uncomfortable. You're not so worried about it. The other thing I would say is potentially try to find a way to share that works for you. Like not everybody has to, you know, vlog. Not everybody has to do videos, selfie videos. Some people can do things with voiceover. They can shoot content they think is really cool and then sit down and record VO. Like there's a lot of ways I think that people can find their unique qualities that make them special and create a brand around that. It doesn't have to look like everybody else's.
Yeah.
So if it's that uncomfortable to you, you know, explore other ways of sharing content.
Yeah, I like the aspect that you touched on with the voiceover because, you know, for me personally, like it took me a little bit to get more and more comfortable, and a good gateway into this field was like doing a podcast, for instance, or just doing like voiceover work where I'm like showcasing a design and I'm not in front of the camera necessarily, but my voice is.
Yeah.
And that just started getting me more and more comfortable with that aspect. So I do. 100%. I think that could be like a nice like training wheels into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to go full force into a full on produced video.
Sure.
But on the flip side too, I think we have to look at it and go like, when we see someone that we admire and they've or all of a sudden are new and fresh and doing videos, let's say on their site, we're not thinking about all of their anxiety of doing it.
Yeah.
They just went ahead and did it. And you're like, you have a bit of envy and you're like, oh, I could do that too. So like, I always try to look at it that way. Like, wouldn't it be, no one else is seeing this in the way you are as starting it from scratch. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Perfect. And you mentioned too about like even looking at some of the things where let's say something didn't perform or it wasn't as successful as maybe you thought it was going to be, but more rather than talk about those, what do you learn from those? Like, can you look at kind of data and see from your side like, oh, maybe I need to change and do more of this because these aren't working?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get better with looking at the data. Mm-hmm. You know, that still feels like a fairly new thing to me. So I'm really trying to get better at looking at it, trying to see what responds. I have felt that, you know, season two of The DIY Designer, I felt like isn't doing as well as I would have thought it would have done. Like, it's not doing as great. One of the differences, the thumbnails I'm making are different. The me and the project I make is front and center in the thumbnail. Whereas last season I did all the, like, the inspirations for the project, like all the different celebrities I saw wearing it were the thumbnail.
Yeah.
And you never saw the finished one. And so I'm, even on this video I just put up today, I included other photos, not of just myself, other photos of what I was making. And I'm curious to see if it has any difference, because it's sometimes like it's hard to know. Like, you need a longer period of time of making a change and seeing whether it really is affected. So, It's hard to figure that out, but I think the biggest thing is also trying to separate your own ego and your own like emotional connection to the work when you're looking at the data. Because sometimes I'll feel like I avoid it because I'm like, it's gonna bum me out. Like, you know, if I look at it and it's not what I want, I'm gonna be really bummed. So you sort of avoid it, and you have to really like get over that and get over the ego of it and try to get in there and look at those details so that you can learn from it and. So that it gets better each time.
Totally. There's a reason you're doing this, you know, and you want it to propel or do something good for your career. That's awesome.
Totally.
Cool. All right.
Yeah. So this sort of segues into, I think, probably a big component of all of social media presence and certainly self-promotion is, and maybe you can shed some light on like talking about authenticity, why it's so important to be yourself, how effective is it to really hold your own voice and perspective in your, you know, field.
I think that people can see right through it is the problem. Mm. I think for a little while you can put something out there that's not really, you know, you can put something out there that's not really real or representative of who you are. And people might not notice it for a bit, but over time, if you really want those bigger opportunities to come, people are going to notice it because the stakes are going to get higher. For someone like me, if my goal is a television show and I put a version of myself out there on my social media that's not accurate, and then I walk into a room and people are expecting one sort of energy from me and they get another, that's not doing me any favors. Like, sure, maybe it grew my social media, but my goal is not to be a social media star. My goal is to have my own television show. So, like, if that's what I want, having that authenticity so that you're attracting the right kind of people.
Yeah.
So that you're naturally in line with the kind of people who care about what you're talking about. They follow they follow your journey. If you're sharing your own personal story, like someone like me, then you want people to be invested in that whole real story. Also, it's a lot more exhausting to put on a show to fake it.
Yeah. Let's just be honest. I know.
Yeah, right? Like, it takes a lot more effort to pretend to be someone you're not. And I know those people. I have those, you know, colleagues is what I'll call them, I guess, that are in that kind of, I don't consider myself a blogger, but in some aspects, I think I fall into that similar category just because of social media. And like, I'll meet them in person and you're like, hello? Is anybody there? Like, oh my God, you're that person? Like, there's nothing there. There's no personality. There's no spark. There's no spunk. You're just like, what in the hell how did you, what? Like, you just, you don't get it. And then they're limited. Ultimately, that person is going to be limited in their opportunities because the world's going to keep changing. You know, I don't think Instagram is going anywhere, but I do think the world is changing. It's going much more towards video. Everything is, I think, is just going to become video at a certain point. So, you know, it being authentic, making sure that you're sharing who you really are is an easier route as you move forward. Because even like if you are someone who's painfully shy, if you can own it and get a group of people who like think it's funny and embrace it and relate to it, you, all of a sudden this thing that was this one sort of issue for you becomes like a powerful tool that you can use to connect with people. So, you know, the more authentic you can be, the more unique you can be, and the more people really do connect to that. We all know those, you know, again, I function in a different kind of world, but you all know those girls on social media. They all will try to look the same. And then at a certain point, it's like you get fatigued as a viewer, right? Blending you're scrolling in, and you're like, eh. Whereas people who I think probably struggled in the beginning of not looking like that eventually blow up because there's just something very unique and authentic about who they are. And that's really what we're all kind of craving.
Yeah. And when that's your point of differentiation between like, I mean, and we talked about this a little bit before throughout this course, but you know, if you can find your voice, like that's what makes you unique. And any designer and brander will understand, like when you're branding a client, what are you looking for? You're looking for their story. You're looking for what the why. Yeah. You're looking for that. What makes them different? And yeah, if you're putting yourself out there in the way that everyone else does, and if, you know, if you're shy, maybe that is part of your brand. Build around.
Right. You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone has a little point of view, a little special nugget who's very successful in this
Put your thumbprint on there, your fingerprint.
And that's why I even said to you, Orly, this morning when I saw what you posted, you just kind of shared something really great in the morning on your Instagram story. And I even wrote you, I'm like, let's talk about that on the show today.
because I just thought
it was so smart. But you shared something really good that I think a lot of people, like just having anxiety in the morning, like I'm late for work. I want to get in a little early. That makes me feel better. And how you presented it.
Yeah.
I mean, does that, I bet you get some great responses when you put that stuff out there and be authentic.
Yeah, I think, you know, the cool thing, the beautiful thing about social media is that it is really a community. And so if you, you know, the good side of it, and I don't really get much of the negative, knock on wood, that hasn't really come my way yet. So far it's all a lot of positive, and people are very sweet, and people give advice, or they say, when I feel like that, this is what I do or whatever. And that's a really lovely community that you can connect to people with.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, for me, it's like I've had over the last week, and I don't know why it is, just this like unexplained anxiety. I don't know why it is. I don't know what's going on. I think I am someone who always has like a very ferocious fire, like an optimistic fire. And I just go. And I don't really stop. And it's easy for me to do that because I see very clearly my future. And so I'm like, I'm just working towards it. Like I'm not confused about it. I'm not uneasy about it. I'm not unsure of it. It's all very clear to me. And I think over the last week, for whatever reason, it's like, only way I can describe it is that like that fire feels like a little dimmed,
and
like it's like I'm trying to create it. Like I'm like, come on, and I just, you know, like you're like, normally I don't have to try. Right now I feel like I have to try, and I think it's just, it's a combination of things. You know, I'm working on a new TV show that I'm pitching, and I got the like sizzle reel back, and it's been a long time. It was a long time of pitching. They wanted to do the show. We brought the rest of the cast in. They got excited about it. It was all the legal stuff. Actually, you know, it's like a big thing. So we finally get the edit back, and I wasn't excited about the edit. And I think that like when you've got something exciting in the works, it gives you something to hold on to.
Oh, 100%.
Because you're just like, well, it doesn't matter what's going on here because I got this thing that I'm totally freaking stoked on. And then when news comes back about it, that's not what you wanted, whether it means no, they don't want to do it, the opportunity is not moving forward, or you see it and it's not what you hoped, it's like, it like sucks the air out of you, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that that's ultimately what's going on right now, is just I needed a minute to be a little disappointed. And
that's okay.
And
creatives, that's okay. And creatives, I think, all understand that more than anybody sometimes, because let's face it, the passion is behind what we're doing, and what we do is being put out there to be judged and to be liked or not. And so when you're right, so when one little cylinder's not firing up or whatever that is, it it's a weird feeling, you know, and
it is.
It's the creative slump.
And I think if you when you're confident too, like if you're confident in your abilities and you see, like I said, like I see what's next for me very clearly, when you see something that's not representative of that, you're kind of like, well, I know what I'm capable of, so I don't want my next step to be anything less than that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't want to. So then, you know, you go back and forth between like, well, I should just be happy that like they want to do it. You know, like you go into that place of like, you know, well, anyone would want this opportunity.
I'm
and
even
do that
having
thing.
These conversations, like, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Like I had another thing today where another production company that I met with wanted to move forward with another show that I had pitched, but it functions in the same category. And so I had this conversation today and I had to tell them, I think we have to wait because this is going on. And to me, that was nothing but frustrating, but I was in the hair and makeup chair and my makeup artist, Jan, goes like, wow, like she's busting my balls. And she goes, wow, you had to say no to someone because you already have something. Like she was trying to be like, this is good. Like you've been working and right now you have two. And I was just like, no part of me saw it that way.
Yeah.
I was mad. Yeah. I'm like, I've been hustling. And of course they come at the same time when I've got to turn one away and who even knows that one's going to happen. And, you know, like. It's just, it's just like
good
one
perspective.
Of those things, man.
I love the people around you that give you that because it's like we all get it in some case or another. And you have to see some reality around you to go, what the hell am I complaining about? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know,
they're like, you're an a-hole. Shut up.
Well, let's talk about some positive things. What do you, since doing this and since putting yourself out there and getting these channels going, and even with the, you know, addition of your job and what you do and the people you get to touch, what are some of the cool things that have really come out of this that, not just the surprising ones, but just the ones that you go like, man, I'm so thankful for this because I've been doing this. Like, I think this is just good stuff to feed our audience on why you should be doing this and getting yourself out there.
I think the coolest thing is that every industry has changed so much because we have so much accessible to us.
Yeah.
We can create whatever it is that we want to create on our own. It's a double-edged sword because now, you know, in my industry at least, like, networks and production companies aren't doing these like open castings really for like hosting jobs or whatever it is. It's like they're waiting for you to create the show on your own and then they'll take it to market, which is, you know, slightly frustrating, but it's good for people like us who are motivated and are hustlers and actually will go out and do it. The opportunity is endless. You want to create a TV show, you want to create a podcast, you want to create whatever it is, you can do it yourself. And I think the freedom in that, realizing that I don't have to sit back and hope someone sees me.
There you go.
I don't have to do that.
You've turned it into a great positive. Yeah.
Yeah. I get to create it for myself and push it and pitch it, you know, and maybe I'll find a production company that will want to take this, you know, show A into production that I've been doing on my YouTube or do a version of it for, you know, whatever, Facebook Watch or, you know, you never know. And I think that, again, in the sort of the entertainment space, it's only a matter of time before all of our media is consumed in one place.
Totally.
I think whether you're watching, you know, network television or cable or digital, YouTube, Facebook, Netflix, whatever, it's all ultimately going to be in the same portal. So if you are a content creator, create right now, create, do as much as you possibly can. Because you might end up, your show might be available to be right next to This Is Us on NBC, and there's your little YouTube show. Like, it's all in the same place. Mm-hmm. So I just think that it's a really exciting and sort of empowering time because you can take the bull by the horns and really go for it. You don't have to wait for anybody.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, especially sort of, you know, touching back again to like building the platform of your sort of future house that you want to live in and work in. You know what I mean? I am curious for you and maybe outside of just like for, I guess, any creatives, but for you particularly, which platforms, obviously YouTube, but have worked best? And I know that content differs from each, but in terms of just like maybe... Yeah, outreach, engagement, even landing work. What seems to be working best for you? Where do you find the most people engaging with you?
I think for me, it's YouTube and Instagram.
Okay.
At least that's where I find the most like-minded engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have an audience on Facebook that
yeah.
It's actually my biggest.
Yeah.
But that's really? This is so Yeah. This is so crazy. So like 2 months ago, I get this email and it says like the girl's name from Facebook. And I'm like, are there real people who work at Facebook? Like, you can never get a human. Like, what is, like, this is a robot. What's happening? And she's like, hey, we're starting this Launchpad program and we're, you know, handpicking like a select amount of content creators to basically push on this platform, on Facebook, push your video content. And so there's all these like monetary incentives, which is really cool. And they promote your content through ads. So I had a similar number on my Facebook that I did to my Instagram, which is like right around 45,000. Not huge, but you know, good enough, a good enough amount of people that I can start to get a sense.
Yeah.
A sense. So they start doing promoting the videos and pushing them. And in a matter of like 2 months, I got like 35,000 new fans on my Facebook page based off the ads that they ran. So it's currently my biggest audience, but I don't know how to engage with Facebook as clearly as I do on Instagram.
Yeah.
The Facebook stuff, I don't know why. I can't really explain it. I don't know the reason for it. But Instagram and YouTube definitely are easier. And I think that's because I feel like people go to Facebook for so many different reasons.
I think Facebook's too broad. It's too confusing.
Yeah.
Everyone goes to Instagram for a reason and YouTube for a reason. So someone's going to YouTube because they want to watch a video. So when my video pops up, it's not like, get out of here. What is this?
You're
like,
right. I'm not here for that.
They went, you know, they want to look at like whatever, family photos or annoying political articles or whatever. Like everyone's got their thing on Facebook. And I don't really know what that thing is.
Yeah.
And I think it's so broad that I'm always like, do they even care? Like, should I post this? Whereas on Instagram, you're going because you're wanting to look at content of some sort, images or video. You want to look at the people you follow. They follow me, so they're not annoyed when they see my content. Like, it's just a different thing. So I feel more confident engaging with those people, whereas I'm just not really sure what's happening on Facebook.
Yeah.
most of the time, I'm like, I don't know.
I'm not alone on that. I don't think it
is. Yeah, it is a confusing platform, and I think it's in a transition.
It's a birthday notification app at this time. Like, that's all I use it for.
Or the high school reunion notification, you know.
Yeah, yes. Or like wish people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, Facebook is tough because they want to make a play into video. They bury your YouTube links. So like, it's not even a place you can really promote your YouTube because they just bury those links. So then you're like, okay, well then do I post it? Do I post the video on Facebook, like innately through Facebook? Mm-hmm. But then I like cannibalize my viewers into two.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a kind of an interesting thing. But yeah, to me, those are YouTube and Instagram are the two that I find
killer.
Really, really good. Yeah, really good, strong engagement.
Cool.
I want to touch maybe a little bit more on this video component because I always hear about video either being the future or like what is currently like the most successive and effective way to market. And I'm wondering if that actually holds true because, you know, you, for instance, like you blanket a lot of different content across different mediums, right? Like even your Instagram isn't just all video. But I'm curious if the video is really dramatically like that much more effective. Because I do hear that often, and I have my own point of view for my own, but I'm not really on the YouTube side of things, and my videos might be mostly in like Instagram stories or something. So I'm curious your point of view if that's true.
I think that I agree with you that that's what you hear, right? Like videos
everyone
are
tells me that.
Yeah. my reaction is I'm never blown away. I'm never like, oh my God, my photos only get this, and my videos kill it. Your videos. Videos do in my, like when I look at, let's say like a photo and how many likes it gets versus a video and how many views it gets, it's obviously much more, but that's because it's like a passive engagement. You don't have to do anything, right? Like you stop on it for just 2 seconds and it counts as a view. Whereas a like, it's like an active engagement. Someone actually has to act on it. So I see higher views, which looks good when other people check it out. But like, I don't know if they're real views and I don't know. I don't get like an insane more. I actually get more comments on photos than I do on video. Unless the video for whatever reason is like really, you know, really pops. I have a new series on my YouTube that I just started called 5 Ways to Friday. And it's a styling series where I take like one item of clothing and I style it 5 like totally different ways. So you can like get more out of your wardrobe. And I try to export out like it's 5 days a week. So it'll be like, you know, Monday through Friday, these are the looks. So I'll tell my editor, I'm like, can you export Wednesday and Friday into Instagram videos so I can post just Wednesday and Friday on Instagram? And like, they do okay. They're not great. They're not amazing. But I don't know if that's just because maybe like I'm not creating video specifically for Instagram. I'm using video that I made for Facebook and just making it shorter. I wonder what would happen if I develop specific, like those tasty videos.
Those are
done specifically for social media and they kill it. Sure. So like, I wonder if my DIYs were overhead, quick 1 minute DIYs, they'd probably kill it.
Yeah, but then I have no YouTube channel. Yeah, that's where I'm always worried that people are always like, well, videos are the future. But having, I do video work for clients and I do some for myself, but there's a lot more commitment in terms of like, you know, the way you export a video is going to be super different to Instagram than to Facebook than to YouTube. Like, it's so much harder to put out content if you do video work. And so I do find that interesting because it is a lot easier to do. A photo is going to really work universally, but a video, it's like, well, they all have time, they have time caps, and like, it's hard. Yeah. And you're right, where it's like, I don't think they translate that well, especially on Instagram. Like, videos that are wide format, just, they don't look as good. I think they're easily scrolled by, right? So it's like, and then Instagram's trying to push this like vertical, you know, with the Instagram TV or whatever it is.
I know.
Like,
thanks a lot,
guys.
Just
doesn't work. Yeah.
It's so dumb. Why did they do that? Just turn your phone.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it vertical and turn the goddamn phone. Like, you guys suck. I know, that was super annoying. As soon as I realized, I was like, I cannot believe they made it vertical. Like, you're killing me. I mean, it's, it is... I do think that there are certain people where video really shines. And I think in large cases, that's like celebrities where you just want to see them in real life. You just want to see them normal. You just don't want it, you know. So I think in those senses, when you see like selfie video of someone talking and recording what's going on, almost like their Instagram stories, but just in a video, I think that it does really well because there's a lack of polish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and people are so curious about celebrities and getting and seeing inside. I think those do really well. Inspirational people who do like, you know, the Gary V's of the world and Ed Mylett and all them. I think their video really performs well because it's like, you know,
it's like gold content, too.
Yeah. Otherwise, especially because like they're going to be talking a lot. And if for them, it would be some photo of like a beach with like a 7-paragraph comment. You know, a caption.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, go get it today. You're the king of the domain or whatever the hell, you know. So it's like in that situation, video is obviously better. I don't want to sit here and read, you know, a 7-paragraph caption.
Yeah.
So I think that it really varies, but I would listen to your own gut and look at your own experience. And if it's not performing that great for you and it's that much more work,
yeah.
Then, you know, why kill yourself?
Yeah.
That's fair. well, and especially for like, again, I'm going to put some of this through the scope of graphic design because I think a lot of these listeners are, but they brought up for sure. But I think you can't really discredit videos entirely. And I know that a lot of designers have like sort of, they haven't touched in that yet. But I think like there's ways to still do it. Instagram makes it easy with stories and going live, and then, you know, and even just shooting stuff on your phone. I think for designers specifically, the kind of content for video work is really just process videos to show, to talk about here's how I, you know, add this texture, or here's how I do this lettering. Like, I think that's the kind of content that at least that we get to kind of have. And that those don't always have to be completely polished. You don't always have to export different videos for every medium.
I think I probably would imagine that for a graphic designer, the kind of content that people really respond to is similar to all of these like videographer vloggers that are sharing how they shoot, how they edit, and they're showing side by side, you know, what they're doing and what it looks like. And I think that that's for the person who knows nothing about it, that's interesting. And for the person who's trying to learn, that's really interesting. So I feel like it's probably a similar type of content that would perform really well.
Yeah. And do that a lot.
That you're talking clients.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But like, I just think like the process aspect to this, I think can be valuable for, again, through designers and also just creatives. Like, not only is it a point of differentiation because it's you and your personal take, but you're putting yourself into a position of an expert. And so like, if I'm a client and I'm going through your feed, and not only do you have good work, right, you have your polished logos that you're putting out there or whatever it is, but also evidence that this person I'm looking at is an expert, they're almost putting themselves in this teaching position. I, as a client, would feel more confident maybe reaching out.
100%.
And I think that area of content is really where a lot of credibility can lie. And so I think, you know, when you talk about putting yourself out there, this could be a good way and more of a teaching aspect for designers to start to like focus on a little bit alongside, like if you, your content or if your feed is like only polished logos, I just think you see less of it because it's all the same.
I agree. And I think that there's something to be said for just like you were talking about kind of putting a face to the name, you know, and even if that name is a business name and you put a face to it, I think that there's sort of this outdated idea that I actually, Nick, I always bust my brother's balls for this because I feel like he uses the we.
Yeah.
And you're like, Ben, it's you.
Yeah.
Like, stop with the we, like we're this huge company. Like, it's you. Like, own it. Own it. It's you. Put your face out there, because if I call to you know, hire you or book you or I want to get a quote, like I would love to know kind of who's on the other side of that phone call, as opposed to like, you know,
put on your fake secretary voice.
Yeah.
Please
oh my
hold,
gosh. You know,
please hold for Jordan Wilson.
Please hold. He'll be here in just a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think like fake there's steps. This. Yeah. Right. there's this idea, I think, and I do think it's an outdated kind of idea, but that, yeah, like if you're a one man show, you don't seem as successful. You don't seem as legitimate because it's just one of you. But I don't think, I think right now people just really care about the quality of the work. If the quality of the work is strong and it's great, no one cares whether it's one person doing it or not. And if they come to trust you and come to really like you, they're even more inclined to like stick with you, as opposed to this idea, that there's all these secret people behind the curtain to make you feel comfortable. It's just, no one cares anymore.
Well, we have so many good examples of, in probably all of our creative industries, of those solo people that are killing it and are just one person.
Yeah.
So luckily now we can follow and be like, it feels more comfortable for us to say that. Like,
Well,
it is just me.
Like, isn't it funny? It's actually reversed. You now have people that are pretending to run the show who have an entire crew really running the show for
that's
them.
That's funny,
And so it's like, it's actually, it's completely switched now. It's like, it seems cool that you're the one person doing all this stuff, but all of a sudden you find out that they've got like three social media people that post all their content, and they're not even seeing the stories, and they're not even, and you're like, wait, what? Like, I bought into you. So, I mean, I think that's actually a really good indication of where things are going, that people are embracing it so much that they're lying and pretending like they're not as successful as they are when they have, you know, an entire office of staff.
That's what I strive for. I strive to have 40 people and then go back to,
and
it's just
lie
me.
About it. Yeah, I can't wait to lie about it.
Okay, there's my goal. But but going off of like what we were saying of just being a little more raw and whatever, what engagements do you get? Do you see a difference when you do share behind the scenes or process stuff? Most of your stuff is that to begin with, but I can only imagine that's got to really engage people and get them talking, because I think that's what you want people to do too, right?
Yeah, I think, people want to see, I do. I think they want to see the process. I think, you know, they appreciate the final product and the work, but there's so much good content out there right now that like, you know, they
people
like
wanna know
it.
How you get there. Yeah.
And so I do think that there's, the engagement is great. People love it. People get a kick out of it. They notice the littlest things you didn't think they would notice. And that's actually the funniest thing. Yesterday on my Instagram stories, I posted, I was doing laundry, and like, I just freaking hate laundry. It's the most annoying thing. Like my husband puts everything in the wash the minute he wears it. Like, I want to kill him. My kids do the same thing. I'm just like, God damn it. So I was doing all this laundry, and the only way to cope with it was a Miller Lite. And I think that's perfectly acceptable. So I had a beer on the table, and I took like a boomerang of like the pile of laundry and the pile that I had folded. And I got like 15 comments of being like, I see your Miller Lite, girl. I got you. I see your Miller Lite. And I'm like, damn it.
But now you're 10 times more relatable to somebody who maybe just discovered you, right?
Right. But it was like, I did it accidentally, but it ended up being this sort of really funny moment that everyone
accidentally
called me out for. Yeah. No, it truly was, because I feel like that's kind of alcoholic-y. that I would have to drink while doing laundry. So like, it definitely was on
champagne
accident.
Of chores. No
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Champagne of chores. That's genius. Yeah, it was definitely on accident, but the response was funny. So I'm like, actually, that's like, it's those moments. I think it's those things that take you by surprise and you're like, oh dang. Like that's, that's cool. I didn't expect that, you know?
My only comment would be, we got to upgrade your beer.
Hell no. Bud Heavy, Bud Heavy, Miller Lite. Don't try to fancy me
up.
Oh
boy. Oh boy.
We'll turn her craft. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm getting your brother to start appreciating good beer.
Oh, he would love that.
Yeah.
He loves all that stuff though. Yeah. He likes his, you know.
But I love that. Yeah. Miller. Yeah. Just go for it.
I know. I'm simple.
Cool. I think last but not least, give our listeners some starting points. Some, maybe is it a daily goal to get themselves into this thing? What do you think? Where should they start? Even equipment, anything else? Is there something we should be doing to kind of get ourselves a little more acquainted to this?
So as far as equipment is concerned, I feel like equipment is an excuse that a lot of people feel really comfortable using. I think they think that as soon as I get the better camera, the better microphone, the better whatever, I'll actually start doing it because I've got the things I need. So my advice would just be to like start immediately.
Yeah.
Like just start immediately. And again, if you have to create that fake profile that no one knows exists to get in the habit of it so people don't see the bumps in the road, whatever you have to do, you just have to start right away because if it really starts doing well, then you can invest in the better stuff.
Of course.
You know, a lot of the time people are going to start on their cell phone and they're not going to keep up with it because they're not going to. And a better camera is not going to help them do that. They're still not going to keep up with it. So try to get yourself in the habit of doing it with whatever equipment you have. Absolutely anything is going to do the trick. You can make it all work. So that would be the first thing. And I think it's really a matter of figure out what your ultimate goal is. You know, what do you really want to do that way? At least, why? Why are you doing it? If it's a matter of, you know, I want to put my face out there just to try to help my business grow. Okay, that's one thing. If it's, okay, I want a TV show, so I really want to try to brand myself in that way. I want to become an influencer. I want to get paid for my social media. Whatever it is, like know what you're trying to do so that at least the effort it's going to take is going in the right direction. And I would say talk to anybody you can. You'd be really, really shocked how many people are willing to give you advice if you'll just ask.
Yeah.
So reach out to people who are in a position that you want to be in and ask for some advice. Let them know what you're trying to do. Ask if they know of, you know, any websites where they learned a lot, any videos that helped them get on track, any conferences or groups or Facebook groups or whatever, like anything, just talk to people and ask questions because it's just amazing how free people are willing to be with this information. So, you know, I think it's a good thing. That's definitely a good resource. And what else? Is there anything else that I would recommend?
We're big fans on the idea of Instagram stories being that baby step into it because of it's gone, obviously, in 24 hours.
Yeah.
It can't be overly produced because it's limited to your phone.
Exactly.
But I'm very impressed with people that I'm seeing starting this and who have never been on that side of the camera in our industry. And now are suddenly getting there, you know, which is killer. It's like I'm more comfortable with it, too. I've been the podcast to me is great, but then like you're putting yourself out there is a little, you're like, why does anybody want to see that? Like, you know, you get to try it. You get to have fun.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. It is probably the best way to kind of dip your toe in the water without being too invested or too freaked out. Cause even just the actual nature of it in these tiny bite-sized things, you can try to practice creating a story throughout your day where you mention something in the beginning and you tie it throughout the day so that even if it is just this is what was going on during the day, people feel like they're on a ride with you as opposed to like, here's an irrelevant 10 seconds. Here's another irrelevant 10 seconds.
Good point.
Like, you kind of try to create some sort of through line so that all of these things have to do with your story that you've created. And like, even for me today, talking about feeling a little anxious, I talked about going to work. So it made sense for me to cover more of my work day than I normally do because like I introduced it that I was going, I was doing it, I'm here. And so it's kind of like, people are then, if you imagine it like a real story, you in your mind, you know what is coming next. or you know what people are expecting to come next.
Yeah.
And so kind of keep that in mind. Like if you talk about something and then you don't show it at all, it's like people have like Instagram story blue balls. They're like, wait, I thought something was coming, you know? So
oh
I think,
my gosh.
Yeah. So I think adding, you know, just kind of keeping that story alive is a good way to do it.
That's perfect. Why don't you let everybody know where they can find you and follow you and even on TV as well?
Yeah. So social media is at Orly Shani. So it's O-R-L-Y-S-H-A-N-I. That's across all social. And you can always comment or message me there. I'm really good about like getting back to people. So I'd say do it in the comment section because there ends up being a lot of the DMs that I don't get to see.
Yeah.
So in the comment section for sure. And then my YouTube channel is The DIY Designer. So if you want, you could just do thediydesigner.com and that just pushes you right to YouTube. And then the show is called Home and Family. It's on the Hallmark channel every morning. You just have to look depending on your provider what channel Hallmark is on. But it's on there. And that perfect. is it.
There you go. All right. Well, hopefully maybe we'll get cool. you a few more subscribers based on our little audience.
Love
like that
it.
Little engine that could.
Yeah. Awesome.
But thank you
this
so much.
So
this is great. We really this can't really thank
fun.
You enough to talk about it. And hopefully it'll help some people to get over that, you know, that anxiety or that fear and just do it and try it.
Just do it. Yeah. Just get out it. Yeah, just do it. That's the easiest way to get over it.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks, Orly.
All right, guys. Talk to you in a bit.
See ya.